And back here on this Columbus Day Monday, 2025, it's Paul in for Melissa on the Melissa in the Morning program. Melissa off. She'll be back tomorrow. But to Paul Pacelli on this Columbus Day, and it is fitting, I believe, that I welcome our next guest, who is the Edwin Earl Sparks Professor of History and Anthropology and the Director of Latin American Studies at Penn State University. You may have heard of that school. Also, the author previously of Seven Myths of the Spanish Conquest and When Montezuma Met Cortez, among his other books. The name of this one, pertinent for today, The Nine Lives of Christopher Columbus. And we welcome to the program here into WICC, Dr. Matthew Restall. Dr. Restall, good morning. Great to have you with us. How are you?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
And let me ask you up front, and I'm seeing this in some of the comments, the wonderful comments to your book here. What made you do this? Because there are a lot of people I see in the comments section here, Dr. Restall, and wondering myself also heading into this, there must have been a lot of stuff written already about the pluses and minuses and life of Christopher Columbus. What made you do this?
I know. Doesn't it seem like a foolhardy thing to do? It's a great first question. Like, what on earth are you thinking? Why are you doing this? And, you know, when I started doing the research, I calculated there were about 2,000 books have been written on Columbus over the last 200 years. Now, I mean, that goes back into the 19th century. That's in different European languages and so on. But still, that's kind of an insane quantity. And I have to say that, you know, for my kind of professional career as a historian really began when I got my PhD in 1992. You can calculate how old I am there, right? And so there was a lot of Columbus stuff around. And obviously, when I was beginning my teaching career, I was teaching Columbus and therefore kind of writing a little bit about him. But, you know, if anyone had said over those decades, 90s, noughties, teens, hey, Restall, write a book about Columbus, they probably did. And I just would laugh. Like, you got to be kidding. You know, that's been absolutely flogged to death. So when you ask that question, believe me, I know that it's a really good question. But here's the thing is, almost all those books have some kind of partisan agenda to prove. Most of those books are written, not every single one, but the vast majority, like a good 90%, are written by people who have an idea. They've read something or they've heard something or it's something to do with who they are and they're convinced, you know, I think Columbus wasn't from Genoa at all. I think he was Portuguese. Or I think he was secretly Jewish. Or, I mean, even down to one sentence in one letter that Columbus supposedly wrote in his lifetime to Queen Isabel of Spain, somebody wrote a whole book leveraging that one sentence into an argument that he was having a romantic affair with Isabel, that Isabel and Columbus were romantically involved, and that explains all kinds of things. So, okay, obviously I investigated that, and I don't believe that to have been the case at all. But my point here is that there's a huge number of books, but what none of them did was connect all the dots. Connect all the dots, right? So collect and connect all of the dots. And by the dots, I mean not just details, myth-busting about his actual historical life, who he was, what he did, all of that. I mean, the dots going all the way up to the present, to whatever protests may happen to be happening today around the country on Columbus Day, what may be happening this week, whatever statements might be made by politicians and pundits and so on. Those things remind us that Columbus is still alive. And that's really, you know, the Nine Lives of Christopher Columbus, that title, first of all, is meant to kind of evoke that, right? Yeah. And prompt that thought in the listener's brain or the reader's brain, like, oh, okay, this guy died 520 years ago, but he's somehow still alive and still among us. And is there a book I can go to that kind of explains that, but also explains, you know, maybe answers all the questions I have about Columbus and then a whole bunch of questions I never knew I had?
That's what I've
tried to do here.
You talk about, Professor and Doctor, the dots here. Did we know all the dots? Have we still been uncovering dots here? Or were they kind of always there going back hundreds of years? And is it just a matter of finding new pathways between them?
Yeah, that's very nicely put. Actually, that's very generously put, because you're totally right. And I mean, essentially what, you know, the hostile question could have been, you know, did you find anything new? Did you uncover a stone that no one had uncovered? Mm-hmm. And if not, then we're not interested, right? So,
yeah.
And so I appreciate the generosity of the question. No, I did not find anything that no one has ever seen or heard of or thought of before. I mean, that's the result of, you know, the 2000 books, right? The point is every one of these sources, whether it's like a painting that everyone knows that's hanging in the Metropolitan Museum in New York, whether it's letters that he supposedly received from a mathematician in Florence during his lifetime, which I investigated, went back. People have written about that. There's a whole book written about those letters 100 years ago by a French guy, right? Now, first of all, it's not everybody has the years of training. You know, people don't have the job I've got, right? Where they have the time to investigate letters supposedly written in Italian and Spanish, you know, 530 years ago, and then read the book by this obscure Frenchman 100 years ago, analyzing it. So I'm sort of doing that work to then bring into my book, which is, you know, two pages in English. I can say this is this was the controversy or the controversy about these letters. This is what historians have said. This is my opinion. And now you don't have to go and do all of that work and dig up and so on.
Excellent.
So a lot of these dots are like, yes, they're out there, but they're very, very obscure. And then some of them are not obscure. They're right out there. Like, let me give you a crazy example.
Sure.
You go on TikTok and look up Columbus on TikTok.
Yeah.
Put Columbus, so you search for Columbus and manatees. So I actually haven't looked within recent weeks to see how much of this stuff is still up there right now, this minute. But when I was doing the research in the last few years, kind of really focused in writing this book, I found all of these TikTok memes talking about how he abused manatees.
Yeah.
And they're kind of funny, but also sort of, you know, it's like horror comedy, right? It's dark comedy.
Yeah.
It's about, they're really saying that this guy is like, you know, not only was he into genocide, he was into bestiality and he rapes animals. It was just kind of dark stuff, but they're making fun of it. There's a kind of a TikTok humor to it. So for me, that's a dot that has never been connected.
Interesting.
If you can find for me anywhere in the 2000 books, I mean, most of these books are written before TikTok existed.
Yeah.
Where anybody actually takes that seriously as a phenomenon and tries to explain it, which is, you know, what I try to do in the book. So some of the dots are obscure.
Yeah.
Some of them are not obscure, but no one has thought to take them seriously as kind of part of a larger conversation.
And you know, Dr. Restall, finally, whenever the subject of Columbus comes up on this program and in this area, and we debated, and, you know, there's the tie-in with Italian culture and a lot of us here in the Northeast, one thing I ask people to do, and I want to get your opinion on this, and obviously this is something I would think you've taken into your research. The world was so incredibly different back then. I mean, 500 plus years, our thoughts and ideas of what was good human conduct is so vastly different now than it was back then. So do you think it's difficult in any way, shape, or form to judge what Columbus thought was a norm versus what we have 500 years worth of hindsight to look back on?
Yeah, I think there's two sides to that. One is yes. Yes, we can judge. You know, these are our standards,
sure,
and let's judge people in the past. And I think there's something useful in that. But the other side of it is, and it absolutely has to go along with that, is to say, but while we're judging this one individual, in this case, Columbus, and there's plenty you can find to judge, particularly in his attitude towards indigenous peoples and slavery, right? The kind of those hot topics right there, and they should be hot topics. But at the same time, let's just, before we walk away from having, you know, judged Columbus and or allowed that to then determine what we're going to do, like, you know, pull down a statue or something, I think it's really, really important to talk about the context. Why is he like that? Is that surprising that he was, you know, thought that there's nothing wrong with slavery? No, it's not. It actually would have been amazing if he was opposed to it.
Sure.
That would have been odd. And so let's talk about that and talk about what what kind of phenomena existed in societies around the world, and including in indigenous societies, that determined, that allowed slavery to be possible? How did it become, turn into the transatlantic slave trade, one of the most horrific sort of phenomenon or long-term moments in human history, right? We need there's never a point where we can say, no, we've already talked about that. There's no more to talk about. Those are things we should always keep talking about to make sure they don't happen again. But let me just squeeze in one really important point in case there are Italian Americans listening to this going, what's this guy? Is he one of these people who hates Italian Americans? Where does he stand on this issue? I think that the nine lives, it's important to stress that the last of these nine lives is the Italian-American Columbus. And so what I have done is isolated an Italian-American Columbus and separated him from an American Columbus and shown historically how those develop. And it's really my hope that whether you are Italian-American and see Columbus as kind of a hero for you and your ancestors, or whether you are not at all and don't understand that and think he's a symbol of genocide, that you can kind of see how I've tried to explain these are separate Columbuses, and therefore it's okay to love your Columbus and hate the other Columbus and the other way around. It doesn't mean that there's a permanent battlefield. I think it means that that's a place in which people can meet to exchange views and understand each other's perspectives. That's my hope anyway. A bit naive maybe, but I'm hoping this is kind of like a peace proposal.
Well, there you go. Listen, it never hurts to expect people to think. Excellent point to end on. The name of the book, folks, pick it up. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. The Nine Lives of Christopher Columbus, written by Penn State University professor and historian Dr. Matthew Restall. Dr. Matthew Restall, thank you so much. Continued good luck in the future. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you for listening, folks. Thank you.